Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll be live on October 11th for our next live show. Mark your calendar. Come out and see us 3 to 7 p.m. at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. David Urban joins me. He knows PA better than anybody. He's got Trump's ear as a volunteer senior advisor and, of course, a CNN commentator. Follow him on X at David J. Urban. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Boy, what do you think of that non-endorsement today, Rich? I mean, I am just amazed at how weak the leadership is of the Teamsters for not stepping up. I, you know, everyone's like, oh, what's the first time they haven't endorsed? What a big victory. I think it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is embarrassing. And it also shows you that the disconnect between union leadership and their members, right? Oh.
The members are overwhelmingly for Trump, overwhelmingly for the former president. And, you know, the president comes to the convention, speaks, you know, everybody gives him a platform. If you remember, he spoke forever, right? I mean, primetime spot, first night, a spot of honor, right? And I just can't believe that he couldn't man up and say, look, this is what our membership wants. We did phone polls, we did online polls, I talked to the membership. Our membership overwhelmingly wants to support Donald Trump, so we as a union are going to support Donald Trump. I don't understand how, you know, if it was a 50-50 vote, you know, in the phone poll and the online, it wasn't even close, Rich. It wasn't even close.
No, it was about 60%. And you know what's funny, too, is that I guess the members were going to back Biden originally. And then with Harris now, that it completely flips and it's 60% for Trump and about 30% for Harris.
Yeah.
Yet we're told
yeah.
over and over again that Biden dropping out was the best thing that could happen to the Democrats.
Well, clearly not in this case, right? I mean, look, the rank and file Teamsters, right, are good guys, right? They know, and women, and they know, these men and women know what's going on because guess what? They get a paycheck every month, right? Mm-hmm. And they see it in their paycheck. And they knew when they were working more during the Trump administration, their dollar went further. They felt more secure in their homes. They didn't see the border, you know, being flooded with illegal immigrants, right? I mean, it's insane, Rich. It's insane. And so for everybody to kind of paint this, or for the Teamsters to try to paint it like as a wink and a nod, like, look, we did you a favor. The leadership, excuse me, did a favor. Look, the rank and file guys, I mean, it is clear that union leadership in America is out of touch with their membership, not just the Teamsters, but you know, most of these unions, right, are the membership is overwhelmingly pro-Trump, and the leadership can't get out of their own way because they're you know, bureaucracies in their own right. And so, you know, great. You know, listen, love to have every Teamster in Pennsylvania's vote, right, for not only Donald Trump, but for Dave McCormick. And, you know, shame on the leadership for not cowboying up and doing the right thing for their members.
Let's talk about Pennsylvania politics for a second. That new ad put out by Dave McCormick was great.
Oh, it was great.
Excellent, showing all the jobs that would be lost by fracking. Because we talk a lot about the people that work in fracking, like literally are employed by it, but there's a whole other sector of the economy that would be affected by it.
Yeah, right. I mean, think about that, Rich. Think about just like people, waiters and waitresses, bartenders, right? Small businesses, pizza shops, sub shops. I mean, everybody, right? It's not just the people who work in the oil and gas industry directly. This is where Smirconish, you know, Michael and I, we part ways on this big time. McConnish is on TV with me saying, oh, it's overplayed. It's not that big a deal. I told him, I said, Michael, why don't you get in your car and drive west of City Line Avenue, okay? Like, you know, maybe leave the Philly suburbs. I love Michael, but, you know, get out, come out to Beaver County, Westmoreland County, Greene County, Washington County, or go up in the, you know, up in the upper tier, right? Up in, you know, go up to Cowdersport, some of these places, right? It's a big deal. Oil and gas leases are still in place. People are making money off of it, right? And it's also great for our national security. If we continue to, you know, produce oil and gas, you know, the record numbers that we were doing before, we're not so reliant on other. We can care less about other, you know, sources of production. And guess what? We can help our. We can start exporting again prodigiously and help our friends. You know, so it is. It was a great ad. Brad Todd and the guys in his shop did it, and I thought it was great this morning. I shot it out. I talked to Brad. I talked to Dave today. They're doing really well, as you know. And, you know, I think he's basically asked every Pennsylvania voter for his vote or her vote this year, traveling throughout the Commonwealth in that bus. He's really putting in the work. And, you know, reminiscent of my former boss, Arnold Inspector, driving around the state, Dave McCormick's driving around the state, like it's nobody's business. So he's earning it.
What do you make, David Urban, of the Quinnipiac poll that came out today? I mean, it's a huge outlier showing that Harris has a 5-point lead in Pennsylvania. There's no other poll out there showing that.
No way. And Rich, listen, if it said Trump was up 5 points, I'd say no way.
Right.
Right? This is not true. I mean, I'll tell you what, the Harris team, I know for a fact, is terrified about their chances in Pennsylvania. You know, they know they're behind in Pennsylvania, and it may be slipping away from them in Pennsylvania, right? By the way, how's Tim Walz doing in Pennsylvania? How's he being received in the heartland of Pennsylvania? And he's not. He's a joke. He's terrible, right? They put him on there to be the white guy, to go be the white guy whisperer, and people see that he's a fraud, and nobody wants him in the state. Well, he's not going anywhere doing any big events. No, so he's not helping him. And I know that Kamala Harris, despite her attempt to, you know, spend some time to Pittsburgh and, you know, kind of, you know, get people's votes through via osmosis. She didn't go out and do anything except to can the vent at a very offensive place. And you had one of your, I wouldn't call him a colleague because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to demean you like that, Rich. But one of your colleagues from PVI schlepped all the way to Johnstown to not ask her any questions, basically, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the worst interview I've ever seen in my life. She performed incredibly poorly. If people, I wish everyone in America, I wish CNN, NBC, CBS just gave 12 minutes and put that on, nobody would vote for Kamala Harris because she didn't have one answer for anything. We know that her neighborhood growing up, people had nice lawns. I know that for a fact. But
right.
Other than that, nothing. So, you know, Rich, the Trump campaign is very cognizant this is going to be a tight race. President's coming to Doylestown. You know, he's going to Shrine Our Lady of Częstochowa this weekend. Going to be back in the Commonwealth next week. Spent a lot of time in the state. He knows it's important. It's going to be a close race. We need everyone, if you're going to vote by mail, make sure you get your, you know, your request in. Probably, I think it's, you know, you could get them in. They're starting to come out this week, next week, because they're a little late getting printed. But we need people to register to vote. Make sure you register to vote. Make sure you show up to vote. Make sure you get your friends and family to vote. If you think someone in your family is not registered, make sure they're registered. Get your kids to vote. Super important this year. Every vote's going to count, Rich. Every vote.
I mean, you know, I'm looking at these polls, and again, you know, the polls were way off in 2016, so I'm not putting a ton of stock in them, but Insider Advantage came out Tuesday. It's got Trump up 2. Quinnipiac comes out today. It's got Harris up by 5. So, I mean, that's what I mean. And also, they've got, what, Casey up by 9 over McCormick? Yeah. I don't believe that for a second.
No. That race is inside the margin of error. I'd say that both the Trump and McCormick races are both neck and neck, and they're going to be, you know, 50,000 to 100,000 rate vote, you know, 75,000 either way, right? We'll win or lose by 50 or 75,000 votes in both those races. And so that's why it's super important, right? Rich, we need every listener to make sure that they come out and vote. And listen, hopefully they're getting their neighbors, their friends, their family, right? You get the leaners, right? People who are low propensity voters. That's these polls. They don't get those folks otherwise, Rich. Like, people who don't show up to vote other than Donald Trump, right? You think they're responding, they're on some pollster's list? No, they're not. So they under polled Trump at least 4%. James Carville even admit that, right? James Carville said, you know, if you're not 4 points up, Trump going in, you're down for Democrats. So, look, I feel like our chances in Pennsylvania more than any other state. I think, you know, for a variety of reasons, people don't believe her phony baloney stuff, Rich. They don't believe her on fracking. They don't believe her on the economy. On that interview on PBI, you know, when she said she was a gun owner, right? She said, I'm a gun owner. I don't want to take your guns. I want to take assault weapons. I wish the interviewer would have said, hey, what kind of gun do you own? Where do you shoot it, right? What do you have?
Oh,
when's the last time you're at the range?
I got a flashback.
I'm gonna follow up question, right? Like maybe that's what journalism's about.
Let's hear a little flashback for you, David Urban. I know you're gonna love this because I also want to ask you too about why they didn't ask her about reparations. But here's a flashback: Kamala Harris talking about guns. It's a quick clip. Cut 23, Matt.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community, and just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affair.
Have you heard from
did you hear that? we're gonna go inside your home and make sure that your gun is what?
Yeah, dude, Rich, again, right? Again, this is why Kamala Harris doesn't do interviews. Because the more people hear her talk, the less they are likely to support her. Because she is so out of touch with mainstream America. And Rich, why is it any shock, right? She grew up in Montreal, partly, right? Then she moved to Berkeley in Oakland, California. Her parents, you know, grew up in Oakland, prosecutor in San Francisco. Do you think that she has any of the DNA of any of your listeners at the Philly area, right? Or blue collar, white collar, anybody who's an Eagles fan or Steelers fan or grew up in Pennsylvania? No, she's not just liberal, she's progressive as heck. You know, guns to her, you know, you go to California, people don't own guns, buddy. You know, it's just a different culture, and she thinks of it differently. But look, that's why they picked Tim Walz. She thinks picking Tim Walz is a 10 strike for their VP. He's a zero out of zero, right? He's not a 10 strike.
Well, speaking of Tim Walz, this is another quick clip I got for you, David Urban. This is him speaking with Spectrum News. He can't name a single thing he'd do to lower prices for Americans. This is amazing. It's amazing. Cut number 7.
You mentioned the economy is the top issue for voters right now. Besides fighting price gouging, what is the second best thing you all could do to bring down costs for everyday Americans?
Well, I think the biggest thing you're saying is make sure, and we see it here in Wisconsin, folks able to collectively bargain around, you know, a fair deal in their work.
Oh, my God.
The biggest thing is those prices like homes, making sure home ownership is available, making sure that we're investing in education so it's not falling solely on local communities. Kamala Harris talks about this idea about home ownership being a key piece, bringing down the cost of prescription drugs, which they've actually done. Donald Trump talked about it. That got done now. I think those are things when people think about daily things that they're concerned about, start bringing the price down on that and then start making people are paid a fair wage.
it's just rambling words out.
Rich did not answer one thing. How about this? How about quit printing effing money? Right? quit money like it's monopoly money. So let's talk about Kamala Harris's housing plan, because I looked into it, okay? I used to be a bond lawyer there in Philadelphia at Ballard Spahr, right? Did a lot of work on multifamily housing deals. And so I know a little bit about housing finance and how things are done. So I look at her plan online, and the basis of the big part of the plan is we're going to give away more money, right? We're going to give away $25,000 the first-time home buyers. So we're going to put more money into our already overheated economy so that people can buy a house. Well, number one, I just didn't think that was a great idea. So I called a friend of mine who happens to be the CEO of the National Association of Home Builders, right? The trade association that runs, that, you know, it's in charge of kind of all the home builders in America. And I said, so what do you think about this plan? And when he stopped swearing, he said, listen, let me give you the top line, right? So we think that $25,000 is inflationary. It'll probably help drive up costs, number one. But the biggest thing we'd like to see is regulatory reform, which she didn't talk about, and Democrats never talk about, but Trump did. Every new home that's built, Rich, almost 25% of that home cost is because of regulatory burdens. So state, local, and federal burdens, add an additional 25% to every home built. And he said to me, he said, you know what they could do? They could talk about slashing regulations. You know, on multifamily homes, like apartment buildings and condos, almost 43% of the cost is due to regulatory burden. Said, no talk about that in the plan. They said, oh, by the way, let me just tell you this. In the Inflation Reduction Act, which Kamala Harris proudly touts, is helping reduce inflation. The Inflation Reduction Act is going to drive up the cost of a new home by $15,000 to $30,000 for single family homes because of the regulatory burden. It requires all new homes built to be green, to meet green federal green standards. So that greening of these new homes is going to drive up costs another $15,000 to $30,000. So that money that they're promising you that's coming from here in my pockets is illusory because it's going to pay for the increased regulatory burden. So he said it is not doing one thing, making housing more affordable or to help us make more houses. So take a big pin, find that housing balloon, and just pop it because it's full of air, hot air, Rich. And so anybody go look at the plan, go to the National Association of Home Builders website. You can see that they think Kamala's plan sucks. So not David Urban, that's the home builder saying it sucks. And, you know, and I said, well, what about Trump? He said, well, you know what? We thought the Trump administration did a great job of cutting regulations and giving tax cuts, and that helped housing production. He said, there's plenty of demand for housing. We need to help housing production. We need to help our builders. So Tim Walz can pound sand. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Can't even give an answer. Stop printing money. Reduce regulatory burden. That's how you help local people afford homes. That's how you help people paychecks swell. Not some pablum about collective bargaining. Crazy.
All right, my brother. Keep speaking the truth on CNN. You going to be on there tonight?
I'm getting on an airplane, so I got to miss it tonight. But back on this weekend and back poking around. Probably be with the president next week. So fighting a good fight, buddy.
All right, David Urban. We always appreciate
it. Keep it up, Mr. Dioli.
We need you.
We need you out there.
I'll do my best. Follow him on X at David J. Urban. Thanks, pal.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Dioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
I just sent you a clip, Matt, of Trump at a bar in New York City at this crypto bar. He paid in crypto. He was asked about how he feels. I mean, again, you know, another assassination attempt 2 days ago or 3 days ago now. And he's out there at a bar walking around in New York City. I mean, just, you know, the cojones on the guy, the cojones. But this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Like I mentioned, we'll be there live on October 11th. So mark your calendar for that 3 to 7 p.m. for our fall show. It's going to be a blast. The live shows are always great. And I want you to be there for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Use promo code Zioli to save 25% off your midweek stay and do that. And you don't need, there's no minimum, no minimum required. Just use my promo code Zioli. Here's what Trump had to say regarding his safety. Take a listen.
Mr. Trump, there's a lot of concern about your vulnerability as you golf. Are you going to continue to golf? And have you talked with the Secret Service about upping
security? Well, we'll look at it and we'll do what the Secret Service wants. You don't want to ever be curtailed because of, you know, the crazy people out there, the bad people, crazy people, whatever you want to call them. So we'll let the Secret Service determine that. If they think things are safe, you do it. Like coming to a place like this, it's got to be safe. It's got to be safe. We're going now to Nassau Coliseum where, I mean, it's literally been packed. It's been, you know, incredible. They have over 60,000 people for 15 or 16,000 seats. So I look forward to that. But it's always got to be safe.
We got some great.
You just don't want them dictating to you where you should go and what you should.
Do you feel kind of hemmed in by all the new security?
No, I don't. I really don't. I just have to lead my life, and I have to make America great again. That's what it's all about.
I think it's important to note, as I'm about to play this next clip, he was asked about the Teamsters union. So when the Teamsters the members were polled back in June, they were going to vote for Biden. Biden 44%, Trump 36%. Now Biden's out of the race, Harris is in. Trump 58%, Harris 31%. All right, so forget the union leadership, forget what the members think. You know that the union guys and gals, the members, that's what you got to focus on, not what the leadership thinks, what the members think. That's a big deal, a very, very big deal. Here's what Trump said about that just a few moments ago.
Mr. President, any reaction to the Teamsters' decision not to endorse?
No, they were. It's a great honor. They're not going to endorse the Democrats. That's a big thing. And this is the first time in, I guess, 50, 60 years that that's happened. Democrats automatically have the Teamsters. They took a vote, and I guess I was at 60% or more. And that's a great honor. I mean, it's really, I've had a lot of Teamsters work for me, a lot of the concrete trucks that built all these buildings that you see in New York City, the Teamsters, exclusively Teamsters, I have to say. They've done a great job. But the vote of the Teamsters themselves was very high for me. And the leadership, Sean O'Brien and the group, who are great people, they said, we can't endorse the Democrats. So I think this is the first time in many decades that they haven't endorsed Democrats.
Big difference in those big industrial states, you think? Is it going to make a difference?
I think it will. Yeah, I think so. The Teamsters carry a lot of weight. The Democrats cannot believe that. And, you know, look, this is it was always automatic that Democrats get the Teamsters. And they said, we won't endorse the Democrats this year. So that was an honor for me.
And they just became the first president or former president or future president, however you want to call him, to send a transaction using Bitcoin because he paid for the tab at the bar using Bitcoin. So that's pretty historic right there, if you ask me. And that just all that just happened. So I love afternoons, baby, because all this stuff happens in the middle of the show. We got the rate cut announcement right before we went on the air. Teamsters lack of endorsement right before we went on the air, actually, as we were going on the air today. And Trump going to this bar in New York and paying in crypto, which is huge. All this happening right in the middle of the show. That's what I mean. This show is, you don't want to miss it because you will be missing breaking news. No doubt about that. I want to play this Ducey clip, though. So, listen, I understand the point. A caller made a point right before the 5 o'clock break, and I didn't have a chance to get into depth with it. I'm not suggesting there should be a law against calling a politician, equating a politician to a dictator. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not saying that you should be barred or it should be hate speech if you say Trump is Hitler. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it should be, it's bad decorum. And yet every Democrat is doing it. And the problem is, versus just attacking policy or just even attacking the person's character, is that some whack job thinks they're Captain America taking out Adolf Hitler. That's what I worry about. They think they're Valkyrie taking out Hitler. That's the problem. It's when you say that he's a threat to democracy over and over and over again, and you get this whack job freedom fighter who goes to Kyiv, goes to Ukraine, thinking he's on the side of right, and then he comes to back to America and he hears all these people saying that about Trump. He thinks, I got to take him out because he's going to destroy democracy. He's going to destroy the world. He's going to let Putin win. He's Hitler. He's Mussolini. It's like I've said to you before. It's that famous philosophical question. If you could go back in time and kill baby Hitler, would you do it? It's a debate that is a philosophical conundrum for a variety of reasons. And that's the issue. It's not just the rhetoric that's heated. We've had heated rhetoric in this country since the founding of this country. And believe me, I don't expect that, nor do I want that to change. That's okay. But there's a big difference between saying Kamala Harris's policies will
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos hard tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love an easy win and with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes so you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head to head for the last chicken wing shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders offer valid for a limited time other fees and terms apply
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Destroy the free market and lead to breadlines than saying that Trump is going to destroy democracy. And there's a big difference there with all this stuff. And if you can't see that, I don't know how to help you. It inspires lunatics to think that they're on the side of taking out evil. And sadly, You know, the question always is, if you had the opportunity to kill adult Adolf Hitler, would you have done it? And I think the answer is yes, right? Of course, yes. And there were a lot of failed assassination attempts against him. There were many people within the German government and within the German military who wanted to kill the guy. And they failed, obviously. So that, you know, on that conundrum, there's no issue. It's you get into the time travel stuff or the baby stuff and you open up philosophical quandaries. But I'm just saying that idea of if you had the opportunity, knowing it would have cost your life, too, to take out Hitler, would you have done it? Like nine out of 10 people say yes. That's the problem. It's the level of vitriol with the comparison. That's the issue. You want to say Trump's going to destroy the working class? Fine. I don't care if you say that. You want to say Trump's going to destroy the economy with his tariffs? I don't care. That's all hyperbole. That's fine. It's hyperbolic. It's the nature of politics. I don't care. And I think a reasonable person can see the distinction in that. I really do. But Karine Jean-Pierre can't, because even just yesterday, she said Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. And she scolded Peter Ducey for bringing up the point of saying, like, when is enough here? How many more assassination attempts do we have to have until you guys stop saying this guy's a threat to democracy? And they're still doubling down on it. Cut number 10.
Thank you, Karine. It's been only 2 days since somebody allegedly tried to kill Donald Trump again. And you're here at the podium in the White House briefing room calling him a threat. How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Peter, if anything from this administration, I actually completely disagree with the premise of your question, the question that you're asking. It is also incredibly dangerous in the way that you're asking it, because American people are watching. And to say that from the administration who has consistently condemned political violence, from an administration where the president called the former president and was thankful, grateful that he was okay, from an administration who has called out January 6th, called out the attack of Paul Pelosi, called out and said we need to lower the temperature after the Butler incident, and now for you to make that kind of comment in your question, because your question involved a comment and a statement, and you know, it is that is also incredibly dangerous when we have been very clear in condemning political violence from here. What I have said about the president, the former president, about January 6th is facts. January 6th, Peter. January 6th. Wait, January 6th. How many times do I have to... January 6th, 2021. That is a fact, what was reported, that happened on that day by some of your colleagues.
By some of your colleagues. So they're not going to stop. They're never going to stop. And it's not about January 6th. That's a fugazi. You know that and I know that. And they're not going to give up. They're not. Kamala Harris unveils a new accent. And the New York Times lectures us about why we're making fun of her new accents. Trump's going to be on Gutfeld tonight as a panelist at 10 o'clock. It's pretty cool. That's kind of unprecedented as well. Listen, when it comes to this time of the year, I'm about to leave soon. I got to go to a dinner tonight in Philadelphia honoring Judith Krupnik. As a matter of fact, it's the ZOA dinner honoring my dear friend Judith Krupnik, and I'm excited to see her tonight and excited to be on stage with her. Relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. I say that a lot. It's a guiding principle in how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience, always doing what is right and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And the result is that so many of their customers, like me, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the level of service and value that they provide. And right now is a great opportunity to enjoy incredible back-to-school offers from Cherry Hill Volvo. You can lease a 36-month lease on a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 a month. Isn't that something? $369 a month. Or a 36-month lease on an exciting C40 for only $369 a month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception, except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. Listen, there's simply no dealership that stands with Talk Radio 1210 WPHD like this because they are our studio sponsor. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, and we're so grateful for their support and Judith's incredible friendship. And what a great deal on an American-made car, the Volvo S60, made at their plant in South Carolina, front-wheel drive, only $369 a month for 36 months. You just simply can't beat it. Only at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. Kamala Harris has a new fake accent she's unveiled. This time it's a Hispanic accent. I believe this goes with the fake black accent, the fake. She had a lot of fake accents. She really does. She doesn't hold back. Why don't we hear the new one that she rolled out today, shall we?
I love you back.
Go ahead, one more time. It was so quick.
I love you back.
Yeah, you can hear it at the end. She's trying to embody AOC a little bit in that. You can hear it. Yep. There's a little bit of AOC. It's subtle. It's subtle. Here's Kamala Harris with another fake accent. This is, let's see if I can pull this up now. This is, I believe, her latest fake Southern accent. I get so much in my stack here that I can't even find it. 20. Thank you, Matt DeSantis. Cut number 20.
Hello to all my divine nine brothers and sisters. My sorrow. And to all my HBCU brothers and sisters.
Oh, man, that happy hour must have been fun. That happy hour must have been great. I'm thinking they had a special on mimosas. That's what I'm thinking. Nope, definitely stronger. Definitely stronger than that. But speaking of drinking, when you listen to Kamala Harris, as Dana Bash put it on CNN, you could actually start a drinking game every time she repeats her tired talking points. I love drinking games. I'm all for it. I'm going to an event tonight. I'm going to be doing a drinking game at that event because it's the only way I can survive big events. Nah, I'm just kidding. I got to speak tonight. I can't do that. But afterward, certainly, cut 22.
When you listen to Kamala Harris and what she will do, you can almost start a drinking game every time she says small businesses. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example.
Part of my plan under my economic opportunity plan going forward is that right now, startup entrepreneurs, small businesses only get a tax deduction of $5,000. Nobody can start a small business with $5,000. So I'm expanding that to $50,000. Understanding, again, that when people have the opportunity to have the resources to get started, they're going to put the good ideas, they're going to put the hard work into it.
Describe the politics of that.
When she says that, she also talks about being a middle-class kid. That's also the front of her answers. If you look at the interviews they've been doing with local media, and they've opened up a bit more since the debate, the first question is often, what are you going to do to lower prices? Which is a very hard question for an incumbent party to answer. And it has implications that are very Trumpian. It is, Trump says he's going to do mass deportation. That'll decrease demand. Trump says he'll explore more energy. That'll decrease energy costs. Democrats can point to the fact that inflation is actually, it was bad 2 years ago. It's not now. What people want to hear is, how do you make the prices go down? So everything she says is something realistic that could survive a fact check that answers a very hard question. There is not a plan to say that we're going to lower the cost of your grocery
bill. That's enough of that. Inflation is not better. That's why the Fed cut rates today. That's why the Fed cut rates. But Dana Bash's point is a good one. She is that she keeps just repeating herself over and over again. And the reason why she does that, and the reason why you can have a drinking game when she does that over and over, the reason why is because she's a terrible candidate who just keeps saying scripted things over and over and over again. That's why. That's the reason why. Now, as far as the fake accent goes, in the New York Times today, there's an opinion piece. The real reason the Harris twang is driving Republicans crazy, written by Elizabeth Spears, a contributing opinion writer, journalist, and digital media strategist. And she writes here, and this is pretty amazing here, No one gets offended when my Southern accent comes and goes. For Kamala Harris, it's a different story. Figures on the political right, including J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, and various conservative internet celebrities, have accused Ms. Harris of affecting a Southern accent on the campaign trail and implied it was a kind of deception. Now, the writer admits Ms. Harris, who is not from the South, wasn't using a Southern accent, though. As John McWhorter has recently pointed out, what Ms. Harris was slipping into was Black English. Yes, there's nothing unusual about her using Black English, because to state the obvious to everyone except Donald Trump, Ms. Harris is Black. So here's the question that I have for the New York Times. And it's so you're admitting she doesn't normally talk like this. You're admitting that she's turning it on, that this is a fugazi. This isn't real. She grew up in Montreal, and then she lived in California. She's not from the South. So you're acknowledging that she puts on a fake accent to try to sound Black. I mean, that's what they're saying here. They're trying to use what is Black English. I almost feel bad even saying this. It sounds so friggin' racist, but it's the New York Times, so I'm just sharing what they wrote here. Studies show that people with Southern accents are often regarded as less intelligent, even by people who have those accents themselves. It's a learned bias at a certain age. There's also a class bias. People associate deeper Southern accents with lower income, an impression that can translate into wage discrimination and fewer opportunities for professional advancement. You know who thinks this way? New Yorkers who write at the New York Times think that way. Nobody else thinks that. You hear somebody with a Southern accent, you don't think they're any less smart than you are. You don't think that. When the speaker is white, she writes, some people hear a Southern accent as a marker of racism or other forms of intolerance. So she's acknowledging that Kamala Harris is trying to sound Black because she doesn't sound Black. I mean, that's the takeaway from this piece. Play that clip again of her fake Black accent for me, if you could. Play that one again, because she's acknowledging that she's trying to sound this way. Go ahead.
Hello to all my Divine Nine brothers and sisters. And my soror. And to all my HBCU brothers and sisters.
Somebody tell this genius at the New York Times the reason why we're making fun of her is because she doesn't sound like that. So she's turning it on to sound real, to sound Black, and that's what's happening. So what the writer does is try to equate it with, we're just angry because she's cutting into a demographic that Republicans seem to claim that they, and she uses the word own, basically regard as property. She writes, it's possible that all the complaints about Ms. Harris's speaking style are just another bit of trumped up outrage, anything to get people fired up for a moment. But my less generous interpretation, she says, is that conservatives find her accent infuriating for one very specific reason, because they buy the negative stereotypes. They associate Southern accents with less educated working class people who, if they're white, might be racist. And that's a demographic that conservatives cynically regard as their property. No. So first of all, y'all have to understand something. Kamala Harris is as phony as they come. And that's why everybody's making fun of her for her accent, because she's phony. She turns it on with whatever crowd she's around. She's a fake. She has no authenticity whatsoever. Trump doesn't go down to the South and start doing foghorn leghorn. Trump just sounds like Trump, a guy who's from New York. And he goes to the South and people hear him talk like a New Yorker and they go, there you go. Kamala Harris is a phony. Now, she writes, perhaps the most enduring fiction that Republicans have sold to the electorate is that despite significantly shifting the tax burden onto working people, enacting explicitly anti-labor policies, trying to gut public education, and attenuate what little social safety net this country still offers, Republicans are somehow supposedly the better party for the working class. And then she goes on about union support, and this is funny, because she writes this on a day that the Teamsters Union did not endorse Kamala Harris. And when they asked the members, overwhelmingly, the members said they backed Donald Trump. And much to her chagrin, she has to write the following. About 6 in 10 voters with lower family incomes are Democrats or lean Democratic. Also, nearly 6 in 10 union members associate with the Democratic Party. You know what this uppity liberal writer for the New York Times is really conveying here? The anger that she has at Republicans, particularly Donald Trump, a guy who's a billionaire and a populist, is appealing to white working class voters. And she spends an entire time writing a nonsense piece that acknowledges that Kamala Harris is trying to sound more black by using a fake Southern accent to try to sound more real, which is just proving the point that we're all saying, which is that Kamala Harris is a gigantic fraud. I mean, this might be the dumbest op-ed I've ever read in my life. It literally proves every point that we're making. And then, as she ends it by mocking and belittling white working class people, if you spent the past few decades driving giant pickups with suspiciously pristine truck beds, waving the Bible, and suddenly speaking as if you have a mouthful of molasses anytime you're presented with a microphone, it might be upsetting to realize that your opponents speak like who they authentically are. Worse, you might realize that they expose your claim to be the party of the working class for what it is, pure artifice. And talk about unfortunate timing. This piece, this nonsense piece justifying Kamala Harris's fake black accent, literally comes out the day the Teamsters, 1.3 million working people, declined to endorse her, and 60% of their members say they're backing Donald Trump. 40 days to lose up to 40 pounds. Just say it with me. 40 days. Should I do this in a Southern accent, Matt DeSantis? I say you can lose 40 pounds, 20 pounds, tubby. Get those love handles from all that fried food you've been stuffing your fat face with all summer. I don't know if the client would like that or not.
I like it. Yeah,
you like it?
I don't know if the client will.
Put down that pork roll, you tubby bastard, and call NJ Dyer right now.
I don't think they'll like it now.
If you can move the rolls of your chin to reach the phone, you call them and you'll be losing weight. It's like angry, fat-shaming foghorn leghorn. I don't think the client's going to like this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold on NJ Diet. I'll come back to that. I'll do Dr. Mike Venaria. If you're missing a tooth, you redneck hillbilly, and you want to finally get that smile that doesn't make you look like you're drinking gasoline all day, how's that?
That's pretty good.
You call my friend Dr. Mike Venaria. Get the tobacco out of your teeth, boy, and call him today. I don't know if he's going to like that either. I'm not sure, but
it makes me want to give him some business.
I mean, it does, right? It makes you want to cross the bridge. Get in your rowboat, redneck, and cross the bridge and go see Dr. Mike. Which, I'm going to get fired. Maybe that's the announcement at 8:30 tomorrow. They're putting a new afternoon drive show in. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, go see Dr. Mike today. If you schedule your appointment now, you'll be one step closer to smiling big at this year's holiday party. Taking care of your teeth is so important to your overall health. Dr. Mike and his staff make it easy to have that beautiful, healthy smile. He's been named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He's respected among his peers as a master of dental implants. So reach out to Dr. Mike today. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your appointment or free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit VenariaDental.com. Go see him today. You will love the results. You'll love having a beautiful smile. And you're going to love Dr. Mike. He's a great guy. VenariaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
By the way, this is a very important point to note. There's going to be a potential major strike happening at the ports in this country, container ships and ports. And apparently now the International Longshoremen's Association planning a strike October 1st that was going to shut down container ports on both the East and West Coast. And apparently the Biden administration is not intervening in this. And that is going to be a really, really big deal.
That could destroy the economy. So we'll see. We'll watch that. The International Longshoremen's Association, they were going to back Biden, but much like the Teamsters, they're not backing Kamala Harris. So big wins for Trump all around with labor. The working class people certainly, they certainly like him. They certainly appreciate him. Certainly love him. And he's going to be in Blue, New York tonight doing a rally. And he'll be on Gutfeld tonight at 10. It's really cool, I think. Really cool stuff. All right, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up. I went way late there, but I got a lot more to say, including a story of a woman who was prosecuted by Kamala Harris, put in jail by Kamala Harris because her kid was sick. It's a heartbreaking story. I'm going to get into that with you in the next hour. Plus, Gavin Newsom's war on freedom of speech. And how are we doing in Pennsylvania with registrations? We're going to find out that as well. But listen, NJ Diet is going to help you lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Just go to njdiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET. 855-5-NJ-DIET. You will lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days' time. There are locations close by in Newark, King of Prussia, Cherry Hill, right from home, Princeton, or right from home with live online video consultations. You can do this. Think about it. The election's 48 days away. Before the election is here, you will be down 20 to 40 plus pounds guaranteed. That's how fast this program works. And there's no shots, no hormones. And unlike the shots, you don't have to worry about side effects and then taking shots for the rest of your life. So reach out to them today. Dr. T, my man, he's going to help you. You're going to get the personal email and phone number of the doctor with you every step of the way to make sure you are burning fat. You can do this. So start today. 855-5-NJ-DIET, 855-5-NJ-DIET, or njdiet.com, and lose the weight for good.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.